States v. A1 Home Health Care. Mr. Conway.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, opposing counsel. My name is Camille Conway, and I am counsel for the defendant appellant A1, who is appealing the district court's grant of summary judgment for the government in this case. The issue of the standards for a corporation's liability under False Claims Act is an issue of first impression in this circuit, Your Honors. While the district court's lower decision equated the perpetrator owners, the Swans, as their fraud is one and the same for purposes of A1's liability, we believe that this court should reverse that ruling. Why? Because in this record, Your Honors, there is no law or evidence in the record here which supports the district court's ruling of direct liability.
A1 is the liability. Criminal instrumentality, isn't it?
No, it's not, Judge.
It wasn't involved at all in the criminal act?
In fact, A1 was not charged in the criminal case.
It wasn't charged, but it was involved, right?
Well, as the record stands, Judge, they were the owners of the business. A1 was the company in which they used to perpetrate the fraud.
Exactly. So I'm saying it's the criminal instrumentality.
Well, it's the manner in which they did perpetrate the fraud. That's correct,
right.
Your Honor.
Okay, so...
And that's what I have some problem with, because they were the ones who were responsible for filing the false report. They're the sole owners and controllers. The money, you know, comes to them, and I think that's a problem for you.
Well, Your Honor, we think that here, first of all, there's the issue of direct liability, and I want to focus on that issue first, because it's very clear there is no basis as a matter of law for direct liability, which the court imposed. It didn't even address the issue of vicarious liability. It simply said that by virtue of the fact that the owners of the business perpetrated the fraud, that you could treat A1 and the owners as one and the same. We believe that that's an error.
Why not? Sounds pretty sensible to me.
Well, there's no case law from this circuit or any circuit.
So what? I mean, maybe because
there's
no one
about
ever
to
thought
be.
That's a fantastic argument. So what is wrong with making the criminal instrumentality liable for the... for its, you know, involvement?
Well, 2 points I would say to that, Judge. First of all, as I indicated, they did not charge A1, but I understand Your Honor wants to get at the point is why isn't A1 one and the same for these purposes? Well, we say that they shouldn't be treated the same is because it's clear that the Swans' actions in the underlying case were solely for their own benefit. And we think that in light of case law from the 5th and 11th Circuit under the False Claims Act, there should be an analysis of whether or not the Swans' actions benefited the corporation and whether or not their conduct was within the scope of their duties. We would argue, based on this record, that did not happen here.
Now, who owns the corporation now?
The corporation is now owned by a gentleman named Jimmy Alexander, Your Honor, who purchased the corporation during...
Did he buy it from them?
He did buy it from the Swans. That's the subject of another set of proceedings.
When did he buy it from the Swans?
I believe February of 2006, Your Honor.
After they had, so recently?
Recently, yes.
And what happened to the money he paid them for it?
Well, that's the subject of another proceeding. What happened is he's now paying the obligation for the Swans on A1's behalf. He's the owner and has actually made some payments right now. Because what happened, there was an asset purchase agreement, Judge, whereby Mr. Alexander purchased the assets of the company. And what he did with that is he is now paying the government, because the government now stands in the shoes of the Swans pursuant to the criminal proceedings and the proceedings in this case. So that's where it stands right now with regard to A1. But getting back to my points, Your Honor, I certainly understand the concept here that the corporation acts through its individuals. But here we have a situation in which the Swans committed a fraud which sought to line their own pockets with the money and did not benefit the corporation. We think that analysis is important for purposes of deciding the law here.
Why wasn't the corporation benefited?
The corporation did not benefit because that money actually was, by the government's own admission in their pleadings, both in the criminal case and here, it went to their own personal gain. The Swans actually used that money for their own personal benefit, and I believe those funds were deposited in their personal account.
What is the difference between the personal benefit of the sole shareholders of a firm and the firm's benefit?
Well, I think here it's clear that there was no benefit to the corporation, Your Honor, because in fact what happened then...
But what does it mean not to have Suppose a corporation is wholly owned by someone. Well, all the benefits of the all the benefits accrue to the shareholders. The corporation is. How can the corporation benefit separately from its shareholders?
Well, because the case law indicates, Judge, on this point, that there must be some benefit in the way of pecuniary gain to the corporation.
Understand. How can a corporation benefit separately from its owners? Any benefit to a corporation is a benefit to its owners because they're the only people who have a claim on its income, right?
Well, that's correct, Judge. But here, I think the distinction is this money did not benefit the corporation in the sense that it used those money in its coffers.
What does it mean to benefit the corporation? I don't understand.
The corporation must gain some pecuniary benefit is what we think
it
means.
The owners gained.
They did.
Which is true with all profitable corporations. The owners who gain. The corporation is just the device for funneling income to the owners, isn't it?
Well, yes, but that raises...
How does it benefit separately from the owners?
Well, we can't deny the corporate form here. And what troubles me about your inquiry here, Judge, is the fact that you're essentially then saying that we can disregard the corporate form, and if there's sole shareholders, that when money goes to them, it's a benefit to the corporation. The
right.
problem with that
right.
is...
So what's the problem?
The problem with that I have is that it's almost like you're piercing the veil. Or reverse piercing, I think, is the argument we made in our briefs on that issue, Judge. You're disregarding the corporate form and saying...
Is it different from treating a gun as used in a crime as contraband?
I'm sorry, Judge.
Why is it any... Look, if someone kills someone with a gun and so on, isn't that gun going to be forfeited to the state as the criminal instrumentality?
I think it depends on the circumstance, but under certain circumstances, yes, Judge.
Why isn't this the same? The corporation is like the gun. It's the criminal instrument, so it gets confiscated.
Right, but the problem we have, Judge, again, and I hate to repeat this, but there is substantial case law from the 5th and 11th Circuit still focusing on the fact that although someone acts for their own pecuniary benefit, there still must be analysis of what the corporation got out of it. In your scenario here, Judge, when someone uses a gun, the gun is the instrumentality in order to get the money. Here, admittedly, the Swans use A1 to get the money. But
weren't the Swans the only stockholders?
I believe they were not, but I believe that they were only active stockholders, Judge. I think we indicated in our briefs. I'm not 100% sure.
Somebody else owned a piece of the action other than the Swans?
I think there was at one time, but we'd have to admit that for purposes of the time frame here in the case...
They were it.
I believe they were it, yes.
In the cases that you cited from the 11th Circuit, weren't there other stockholders involved?
I believe there were, Judge, in some of the cases.
You don't see some distinction between some stockholder getting tapped as opposed to the miscreants being the only ones getting tapped in this case?
Well, you know, I think in part, Judge, I do now recall a case that talks about looking at not just the corporate individuals but also the employees as well. And here it's clearly the employees, at least as the rest of the company, although they're not the owners, we're not aware of it. So I think that's a slight distinction I might draw on that point. Getting back to the point I wanted to make, Your Honors, here, I think the one thing that we underscore about the issue of the liability of the corporation is separate from the Swans is a case that the government actually cited, and the case is Empire. And I just want to read a quote from that, Your Honors. The corporation's president acted not as an individual, but in the role of president and representative within the scope of his corporate capacity, both actual and apparent, because the president and other employees of the corporate defendant in their capacities as corporate employees and acting for the benefit of the corporation committed the violations for the benefit of the corporation. Here, we believe that did not occur, Your Honors. Here...
That gets back to Judge Bauer's point. That is to say, if the crimes benefit the corporation, then the fact that they're innocent shareholders shouldn't matter. They're not entitled to those ill-gotten gains, even if they were innocent. But if you have just if the criminals are the only shareholders, then what difference does it make whether what they did benefited the corporation? I mean, anything that benefited There's no corporation apart from them.
Well, I think that that analysis disregards the fact that it was an incorporated business, Judge. That's the first thing I would say to that.
Why does that matter? It matters
in the sense that what we're essentially talking about here is disregarding that corporate
right.
form in other
and
cases.
Why isn't this a perfect case to disregard the corporate form? Because there is no corporate reality apart from the owners, because they're the criminals and they're the sole owners.
Well, I think, Judge, in part, what I would say to that is there certainly was a concept of before the criminal activity. This was an ongoing legitimate business. And what we have here now is a situation in which the Swans...
I don't
know
why you say it's a legitimate business. What's legitimate about it?
Well, legitimate in the sense that A1 was an ongoing business that submitted claims to Medicaid for payments. The Swans...
That doesn't sound... I don't understand you.
It's a legitimate...
Completely illegitimate business.
No, it was a legitimate business, Judge, in the sense that when the Swans were running this business, they on many occasions submitted lawful claims that were paid by Medicaid. In this particular case,
you
the factual...
occasionally they did something legal.
Yes, that's exactly right, Judge.
Just make it a legitimate operation.
Well, I don't think there's any dispute here that the business as a going concern was illegitimate, Judge. I see my white light is on, Judge. I'd like to reserve the remaining time for rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Clark.
Thank you, Judge.
Mr. Tardif?
Bearing in mind that brevity is the soul of wit, don't try and talk anybody out of anything here.
Understood, Your Honor. May it please the court, counsel. I think the panel has clearly grasped that it is hard to imagine a clear case of corporate liability when the criminal acts that form the basis of civil liability under the False Claims Act were performed by the sole owners and controllers of a closely held corporation.
Why wasn't A1 indicted along with the Swans?
Two responses to that, Judge. First, there's no evidence in the record to indicate anything on the matter. Secondly, as a matter of fact, I wasn't not involved with the case at that time, and I don't have any information for you in that regard. As the civil attorney handling the matter, it would have been far easier for me if that were the case, but it simply isn't the matter. And I don't think that it influences one way or the other whether or not the company is liable civilly under the False Claims Act. The analysis here, as Mr. Conway started with, is really one of direct liability.
So the man who bought the company, Mr. Alexander, he said he knew the situation?
Yes, I believe he did, Judge. So there's nothing in the record before this court on this particular point.
But they had already been prosecuted, hadn't they?
They had been prosecuted, sentenced, and the company was sold on the eve of the lifting of the stay in this civil case before Judge St. Eve. So the bottom line is here that A1 is directly liable for the acts committed by the Swans, its undisputed sole owners and controllers. There was a lot of discussion in counsel's
What's
argument.
What's left of A1? Does it still... It wasn't cut off from dealing with Medicaid?
I believe that A1 has been suspended and its provider agreement has been terminated following the entry of summary judgment in the civil case against it.
The civil case, but the criminal case didn't result in its being cut off?
In A1's cut off directly, no. What happened?
So when Alexander bought the company, it was still operating. Do we know?
We don't know, Judge.
Do we know what he paid?
We do know, there's nothing in this record, but I do know that the purchase price was approximately $120,000. The only thing I'd like to say about scope...
Let me ask you, do you know if there are any other shareholders?
No, I do not, Your Honor. Okay. There is nothing in the record before this court, nor was anything presented in the district court in the civil proceedings on that particular point. The discussion about whether or not there's benefit need only be reached by this court if you conclude that A1 is not directly liable as opposed to vicariously liable for the fraud committed by its sole owners and controllers. And even if you reach that analysis, the analysis is not whether the fraud or being caught for the fraud was bad for A1, which is obviously the case. The analysis is whether or not the Swans were acting, at least in part, with a purpose to serve the master. Clearly they were. As the court pointed out, A1 submitted through the Swans Medicare cost reports, which kept the company operational. Some of those items were fraudulent. Those are the issues that are before the court now. It doesn't make it a legitimate business. Aside from that, the fraud perpetrated by the Swans is fraud perpetrated by A1, whose bank account that money went into is immaterial in this point. And unless there are any further questions, we ask that you affirm.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Tarif. Mr. Conway, how much time does he have? 4 minutes? Yeah. Do you have anything further?
No.
Okay, well, thank you very much to both counsel.